All right, well, it is my delight, my privilege, my pleasure. David's already moving as I just start saying that. So, David Manuel, come on up. David is a mentor of mine. He is our longest-serving staff member, probably by decades. And it has been a delight to be part of this church really all my life with you here. I've learned so much from you. And grateful that you're coming to bring us the word this morning, David. So
just give me a...
I can do that, absolutely. Awesome. All right. Are you on? Let's make sure you're turned on. You have to say something.
It depends. If they think it's important, they will turn it
there
on.
There we go. We got it.
You can see how, what a privilege for me to be part of this fellowship, to be on the staff. To receive this kind of love, that keeps me not only just existing, but it keeps me growing and causes me to know more about Jesus so that I can keep telling other people about what Jesus can do and is doing in this world. So I have some stories to tell you. I hope I will be able to finish that on time. I fear the Lord, but I'm scared of the ticking clock. But these three stories I picked because we are celebrating today the 500 year ago. There was a man called Luther, and so he reminded us that don't forget what the Lord has done for you. Otherwise, you get lost in doing things for the Lord, hoping that somehow the Lord will forgive your sins. And so if you do enough, then maybe he will do something for you. That kind of thought was being exploited. And so the time came when he had to face the music because of that. And we are going to fade that music too, because if you keep saying this, that if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved. You don't need anything else. That will be tested. I believe the Lord is raising people here who will say, here I stand, I can do no other. Do whatever you want to do. This is the rock of my redemption of salvation. And I stand on this. Well, this morning something happened. I saw a young one about this bag, as if he was just, you crank the thing and the thing goes like that. He just started from there and started running and banged into a couple of the children. I'm glad there was a wall, otherwise there would have been outside. And I thought, here is a Kanak. But I also was prompted by the Holy Spirit, and I went to someone and I said to him, don't be afraid if the Lord calls you, and he will give you in your hand this book of the good news. Don't say no. Say yes, Lord. Don't say that, how am I going to do this. So don't have any questions. Simply say yes. It does not depend what you can do or you cannot do. He'll use you. Just think about this man, this wretched thing. He took me from India and gave me the Bible, and here I stand before you. How can I thank him enough? So these three stories that I'm going to share with you are about faith, your faith, my faith, faith of our fathers, faith. And the first story that we are going to read has to do with the celebration of faith, personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second story will be the actions of faith, not for your salvation, but the salvation of others. Then there is another story of the restoration of faith. We can be attacked from all sides, all kinds of doubts. Satan is always there to put doubts in your mind because you have prayed enough, long enough, now nothing is happening. Well, I've been praying for someone for the last 35 years. My faith is, it's not going to go in vain. In his own time, maybe he'll come here. Like others, he will be baptized here. I have faith. So we are going to read those stories and see these things. First of all, the story is found in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7. And it's a beautiful story about this lady. So Jesus was invited to have supper, and these people were very righteous people, doing everything they thought were according to the law, just like today we can call it Sharia law, that kind of thing they worshipped. And so he was invited, and it says now, behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, very expensive. She stood at the feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet, anointed them with the fragrant oil. That was a no-no. A woman was not supposed to be in the public doing this kind of thing. Was she crazy? She was offensive. She was against the culture. Well, why was she doing this? Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Jesus could hear what people, he knows what you are thinking. Watch out. He was saying, if this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she was a sinner. Here is a total denial of Jesus being a prophet. He said, no, he can't be a prophet. He should have known. He should have allowed her this kind of thing? No. Never. A woman? Of all the creation of God, a woman? And a sinner? Everybody knows her. Jesus cannot be a prophet. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, not a prophet, teacher, say. And so the Lord says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 100 denarii and other 50. And when they had nothing to with which to repay, he freely forgave both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? What do you see in her? What's bothering you? Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed me, my feet, with fragrant oil. This was a custom he should have done. It was a custom in the Middle East when you invite someone for a meal, he's the king. You treat him like a king. And he didn't do anything. He said, you didn't do this. But therefore I say to you, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. He didn't say he will be forgiven. Are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is given, the one who is little is forgiven, the same loves little. The one who is forgiven more loves me more. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Blessed assurance. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? Because only God can forgive. What is he claiming to be? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I was wondering, why did he not say to this woman, your actions, your works, your dedication, and everything that you have done to me publicly, fearlessly, joyfully, have saved you. No mention of anything. Did Jesus disregarded everything that she did? Why? So that we will always remember the salvation, forgiveness of sins, assurance of sin had nothing to do with what we do, because there are people in this world who are doing everything possible. I know how much my Muslim friends are trying to appease God. They would do anything for Allah. And I listen to the testimonies of those people, and none of them have ever said that because I was doing this, I was loving God so much, so he has saved me. They simply said, I never had a personal relationship with God. I never heard God telling me that your sins are forgiven. I have never heard this word peace. This is what Jesus says to this woman. Go, your sins are forgiven because, not because of what you have done, but because your trust is in me. This is why I preach the gospel, my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. I know he came for me. I know he died on the cross for me. I know he rose again. I know he's alive. He's here. And this is why I shout with joy and I praise him. It's not what I can do. I will ever be able to do. It is because my faith is in Jesus Christ. I trust him. He's the one who has declared in my soul, your sins are forgiven. What peace. What celebration. So everything that this lady is doing, my sister is doing, is a celebration. Not an action in order to forget the attention of God so that somehow he will look upon what she's doing, the expensive oil and her courage to come forward before men and her tears. They are not disregarded, no. But they are not the foundation of our salvation. Your faith has forgiven you. Go in peace. Peace will never be experienced unless you know that you are forgiven. Do you have that peace? Do you know that because you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven? There is no condemnation for those who have put their trust in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not at all. You will be received in his presence with pomp and show. Here comes another one. This is how there will be a celebration. When I will go, there will be a celebration, I know. Not because of what I have done, but because what Jesus has done for me. Do you have that kind of peace? Do you have that faith in Jesus Christ? If not, don't leave this place. Because the times are such, we do not know. I don't know whether I'll go home or not. Things are happening very strange. This is the moment. If you do not know this, please, I plead in the name of Jesus, when you will be taking the Holy Communion, say, Jesus, I receive this salvation by faith, and I accept your forgiveness. And I will celebrate my salvation with this, my sister. There is another story about faith can be seen in action. But that faith is not for the salvation, but this is the faith of those who have been saved, and they have faith and trust in Jesus that he can save other people too. And that is found in Mark chapter 2. And you will see this faith in action. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Again, he entered Capernaum after some days. So that means this was the second time Jesus was coming here. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then came to him, and they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near the house because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, I underline that. In this first story, Jesus says, your faith for your salvation. Here is another kind of faith. But this is not for their salvation. This is the salvation for somebody else. When they saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And just like always, some scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. Nobody else can forgive sins. But how could he? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his heart what the reasons they were reasoning, thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, arise, take your bed and walk? Which is easier? But that you may know that the Son of Man, he didn't say Son of God, Son of Man, which Daniel was allowed to see in the 7th chapter. He was brought. He was on the throne. All the nations worshiping him. That Son of Man has. He was not talking about the Son of God. This is why he used this word. The Son of Man has power. On earth, in heaven he has, but here too. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. In the first instance, we saw how this woman, because of her faith, celebrating her forgiveness, celebrating her freedom to worship Jesus. And she's beyond overflowing, flowing tears of joy to wash his feet. Oh, what a miracle. What an experience. Ecstasy. She does not care about anyone, anything. She knows she is forgiven because of her faith in Jesus. And here, these people, I let your imagination be unleashed. Because I can imagine, you know, the place was crowded and Jesus was talking about God's love. I don't know what he was preaching, what was the topic, but he was preaching the gospel, good news. And there were some people and they were impacted and they felt that kind of faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ, and then they see the faith in action. Now let's talk. Talking about other people. He said, do you know there is a young man in our neighborhood, and we have faith, this kind of faith. If we can somehow bring him here, he can be healed. And so after a little bit of discussion And so these, there were four men. They said, okay, we'll go. And so they went. When they came here, but there is no room. Now they have to talk to the owner. I believe they had to talk to the owner. Please, we'll take responsibility. We'll repair the roof. If there's any cost involved, we are responsible, but we want him to come here. See the faith in action? Because they believed that they had faith that if that man comes before the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be set free. But they did not know how much will happen because of their faith. Seeing their faith, Jesus saw that faith in action. And see the divine intervention? See God's action in it? Because Jesus saw their faith for the salvation of somebody else. Oh, I have to finish in time. You have a few minutes? Okay, thank you. I have to make up for that. I don't get that much time. So see what happens. Here is faith in action, not for their own salvation, but for salvation for somebody else. Did you get the point? It is for the salvation of somebody else. They are doing so much. How could Jesus stay inactive and not respond? Four things happens to this man. This man who was brought because of their faith, first of all, he experienced God's love. Son. Oh, that's amazing. Son. And because the love was entered in the depths of his being, something happened. Now he says, you are forgiven. He experienced love. He experienced the forgiveness of sins. Then he experienced the power. Arise. He could never do that on his own. He felt something happening in his body. Oh, there's life coming. I can move. He moved his legs. His head. Oh, I'm alive. He experienced God's love. Because he was a sinner. They said he's a sinner. Jesus says, okay, I'll take care of that. Don't worry, I'll take his sin upon myself. Son, your sins are forgiven. And receive the power of God to live. He received a new life. Let me give you an example. It was the 70s when God's people in this place, but this was turned around, it was the pulpit was on that side. I'm talking about some people are here, they will remember. God started speaking to this congregation that there are people, I have brought these people here in this neighborhood. If you trust me, if you have faith that I can save them, just say yes. Yes, Lord, we believe. We trust you. We will reach out to them. We will do everything. You know, it is because of faith that you had for the salvation of other people. I stand here. Here's my wife. We have four children. We have grandchildren. Because you had faith. And then we had faith. And we reach out to the community. By 2000, 87 people were baptized here. It was here, backside the tank. 87 people. If you want to see what the Lord is doing because of your faith, go downstairs sometimes. Meet with Lakvir. And see what the Lord is doing because of your faith. How is your faith today? There are people who have been praying for their children and grandchildren for many. Wives praying for their husbands. Husbands praying for their family. And now they say, I don't know. I've been praying. Nothing is happening. There's a story of the restoration of faith too. There was this man. His son was possessed by a demon, suicidal spirit. He brought him to disciples. They couldn't do anything. Then he brought to Jesus. He said, well, I don't know. your disciples could not do anything, but can you do anything? Jesus said, what? What did you say? Can you bring him here? And you know, that man was crying publicly with tears. This is what the text says, not the translation. But he was crying with tears publicly. Please do something for my unbelief. When his faith was restored, there was a restoration of his faith. Unbelief was replaced with faith. He said, I have faith. And his son was released. What is your faith like? Do you celebrate it that the Lord has forgiven me and he has given me freedom and peace that I can say, thank you, Jesus. This is not because of what I have done, but because of what you have done for me. We will be celebrating. Do you have faith that because of faith, the Lord will continue to use this church to reach out to the people here? It's a different kind of people have been dispersed from their nations and they are here. Are you responsible for them? Because of your faith, they will be saved. And if you have any doubts, come before the Lord. Lord, do something about my unbelief. Restore my faith. Excite me so that I will be more involved. And my actions of faith will reach out to you. And you will say, because of your faith, I'm going to save more and more and more people. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Keep praying for me. Eh? I need that kind of faith. There are people who call me. A friend, a Muslim friend, called me. I've been praying for him. There is another email came, and he said, I want to have a personal relationship with God. Is it possible? Can you help me? I need that faith. I will believe he will be saved. I believe he will be saved.
David, why don't we, let's pray right now for you. David has the opportunity constantly to be, he's sharing the gospel literally around the world, discipling people over Skype. Any medium that you can imagine, David's sharing about Jesus through it. And so we want to just pray that God would continue to use and empower that. So Father.
How many will pray for me? Ask them.
How many will pray for David? Why don't you stand so he can see from up here? Is that better? Good, okay.
Thank you.
God, thank you so much for the power of the gospel, for the transformative power of the gospel. It changes lives. It changes eternal destinies. Now, thank you for the opportunity that David has, the unique opportunity you've given him to from a little corner of our basement and from the house across the street to record messages each and every week and have them go out around the world. To places that would be difficult for us to physically go and share Jesus, and yet David's able to do that through this unique way, Lord. Thank you for the stories. We hear people phone, people write. God, people that you have touched, people that you are bringing to faith, people you have brought to faith as a result of David's ministry. And so, God, we are grateful for that, and we pray for more. We pray that you continue to strengthen David, give him clarity of mind and thought as he writes messages, as he records, but most of all, God, that when people on the other end hear the message, they're not hearing David, they're hearing your Holy
Amen.
Spirit speaking to them.
Amen.
And may many, many more come to say yes to Jesus
yes.
Because of the opportunity you've given us as a church through David to share the gospel around the world. So we unite our hearts together to ask for this in the powerful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.